Welcome to West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship and our Flower Communion Service. I am the Reverend Tracy Springberry. I use the pronouns she and her, and it is a delight to see this creative, compassionate congregation together this morning. I welcome you with these words from Thomas Rose. We come in a variety of colors, shapes, and sizes. Some of us grow in bunches. Some of us grow alone. Some of us are cupped inward. Some of us spread ourselves out wide. Some of us are old and dried and tougher than we appear. Some of us are still in bud. Some of us grow low to the ground. And some of us stretch towards the sun. Some of us feel like weeds, sometimes. Some of us carry seeds, sometimes. Some of us are prickly, sometimes. Some of us smell. And all of us are beautiful. So today, after the service, we are having our annual meeting. And if you're at home, it's going to be online. You should have gotten an email with that link in it. If you're here, there's going to be some sandwiches and coffee downstairs, and at 11:45 we'll be meeting, and you can come right up here, and we will be having our annual meeting. And I really commend it. Starvation's not a reason not to come, because we have some good food, and there's going to be a great slideshow of everything we did at WWF this year, which I find super inspirational. And we're going to be voting on board members, the 8th principal, and our budget. So it's a good meeting to be at, and we hope you can be there. Our community is filled with beauty. When you open the door to greet me, that's where beauty begins. And when you share with me what's important to you, beauty is there as I listen. When we join hands to practice compassion, beauty's heart blooms like a flower. When we teach or learn or work for justice, beauty abounding sparks joy in all. So let's light the chalice for beauty now. The beauty we seek, the beauty we share, the beauty we nurture together. Let us say our affirmation. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful. Let us open our minds to learn what is true. Let us open our hearts to love one another. Thank you. months we're not able to do what we want to do. We have a vision of flowers outside our door or a vision of a neighborhood party, but for reasons from having a bad back to having too much work to do, we can just not make them happen. We need other people to help us. Maybe our vision is a just world where people are never hungry and never killed in a war, and we are not able to make our vision come true because we are just one person and the work is too large. Look at the flowers before us. They are wonderful in their mix of colors and textures. Each flower is so lovely on its own. But a flower by itself cannot make a bouquet. They require each other to make that kind of beauty. And it's true with people too. We are each beautiful and unique with all kinds of gifts and, of course, some challenges. But together, we can be startling and powerful. This morning, we will be giving our offering to Mercy Corps. Mercy Corps is on the ground in Romania and Poland, assessing the most urgent humanitarian needs in Ukraine and the whole region. They anticipate providing cash assistance, as well as supporting local organizations that know the community needs and have ideas about how to meet them. 5.6 million Ukrainians have fled the country. They suspect that maybe up to 10 million, or a third of the country, will leave. The humanitarian crisis inside the country and for refugees is extreme, as I think most of you know. Mercy Corps is particularly concerned about the elderly, who make up one-third of those in need of assistance, as well as people with disabilities. Our offering is one way to be powerful together, to make a bouquet of our small gifts to something larger. So this morning, if you're donating online, please check Give to Donate the Basket from the drop-down menu. If you're writing a check, make it out to WOOF and indicate in the memo line that you want it to go to Mercy Corps. So if you're online, you can do an online offering. If you are in person, you can leave the offering as you leave today. There are so many ways to be beautiful together. We will now hear the story of Flower Communion, the celebration created by a Unitarian minister who wanted people to notice the beauty of each other and the earth.
Nearly 100 years ago, the Unitarian minister Norbert Čopek offered his Czechoslovakian congregation a ritual to respond to their questions about how to be a community that welcomed rather than suppressed diversity. Czechoslovakia was a country formed in the aftermath of war. Struggling just 5 years after the end of that war with questions of belonging and identity, trust and anxiety. Čopek's ritual took the traditional bread and wine communion that his community was too heretical for and too resistant to these usual symbols and played with this ritual. He turned instead to the beauty of nature all around them and invited each of his congregants to find a flower and bring it to the church one Sunday. That each person would find the flower that was beautiful to them was a symbol of their affirmation that each of us has a piece of the truth, our unique sense of what beauty means. On their way into the church, his congregation was in turn invited, each of them, to place that flower in a vase, which symbolized their free choice to enter into community alongside all the other people that saw beauty in their own way, symbolized by their flowers place there as well. A free church where people freely choose to walk together across their differences. Once everyone had gathered, they'd bring the vase forward. Then the minister, Chopak, he would bless it. And then he'd invite everyone to choose a flower to take home with them, but just not the one that they came with. Again, this free choice affirmed each person's choice to be blessed by another and to receive with an open heart their different understandings of beauty and to feel connected rather than divided by this difference. In this moment where so many forces seek to divide people, to play on our fears of differences and our anxieties of the other, here we remember that we freely choose to walk together and to be blessed by the differences between us and to see these differences.
Church for two reasons. The first was I had a baby and a two-year-old, and for 1 hour each week, I got to sit quietly, leaning into the beautiful flow of worship, listening to music and poetry, and thinking about how I could live a meaningful and rich life. I felt rested and prepared to live values like love, which I was just beginning to learn more about. The second reason I went to church was for community. I felt held by the community. I had been in free fall with two young children, an unfinished house, no running water, and supporting a family on two part-time jobs. Just being with other people who had raised children successfully and were raising children helped me feel like I could do this too. The smiles and companionship were beautiful to me. I was part of a mosaic of people, lovely, shifting, all finding our way through complicated lives. It was as if I had been a single daffodil enduring a spring hailstorm and was now inside a safe, sheltering bouquet of flowers. People need people. The truth is we are nothing but relationships. We feel ourselves as individuals, separate, defined by the outline of our skin, by our thoughts and ideas, by our likes and dislikes. And our culture encourages us to define our individual selves more and more minutely. We need to know our passions and vocation to determine what work we will do, or what activities we will do for fun, or what service we will provide. We need to know very specifically our likes and dislikes when we order coffee. Are we a short black Americano person or a creamy, tall, salted caramel latte kind of person? What do I want? I. This focus on individualism is an illusion, however. It is a trick of our perception. It is the perspective of our particular culture at this time in history. And it is not literally true. This is easiest to see in our relationship with the environment. We think of ourselves as individual beings, and the environment is out there. We live in it, but it is not us. However, this is not true. Each moment we are breathing in air, bringing in necessary oxygen, and the air becomes part of our bodies. We drink water, the water becomes part of our bodies. We eat food, which is made of earth and sun and water. The earth and sun and water become our body. The world isn't out there. We are the world, as if everything we can see, feel, and touch and hear, and much, much more than we can see, feel, touch, and hear. It is so much harder to recognize this in our relationships with other people. the way we all become each other. But neuroscience has shown us that this is true, and mirroring is one of several ways we do this. When we interact effectively with other people, we unconsciously mirror their body movements and expressions in our brain. So if somebody's picking up a spoon, our brain that goes through a picking up the spoon firing of neurons. So we are literally bringing that person, their emotions, what they're saying, their expression of their emotions into our brains, where neurological pathways fire in ways that are sometimes new to us. This is physiological change in our brains. We become the people around us. This can be incredibly beautiful, or it can be really ugly and disastrous. I believe in religious community because I believe in a community that tries to mirror each other beautifully, where we try to learn the skills of mirroring love. In hospitable religious community, we help people learn their loveliness. We let people see their brokenness and how that can bring beauty into the world. We open our arms and allow people to be who they truly are when we are at our best. Miss Rumphius and her niece were asked to make the world more beautiful. Religious community makes the world more beautiful through acts of kindness and love. Our work is to create, is to build relationships that create neurological pathways that make us more capable of love and compassion. Today we celebrate flower communion. How different each flower is. Just as our bodies are different, and our temperaments, and our minds, and our experiences, we are all lovely, strong and gifted in some ways, broken in others. We all bring our differences. We bring pathways towards beauty and love that we can share with others. And in flower communion, we can see that beauty, see the way our differences come together, and the way we can help each other be more beautiful. Today, our congregation is going to vote on adopting the spirit of the eighth principle. The language we are voting to affirm is, we, the members of WOOF, embrace the spirit of the eighth principle. We will work accountably with each other to build a diverse, multicultural, beloved community and dismantle racism and other oppressions in ourselves and in our institutions. The eighth principle has been endorsed by many BIPOC members of our faith. They say it is an important way for UU congregations to focus their attention on doing the work of creating a more diverse and welcoming Unitarian Universalism. And I believe it is important to make this statement and to take it seriously. Our calling as a faith is to bring more love, beauty, and justice into the world. One essential way we do this is through the relationships that transform us, through bringing difference together to explore new ways of being in the world. We are not an I faith. At our best, we are not an I faith, where everyone is solidly in their difference. But we are a we faith, where our differences help transform and shape one another into something more beautiful. For a long time, our faith has been filled mostly, not entirely, but mostly, with white, educated, economically comfortable people. Our theology of welcome, hospitality, and care for the interdependent web has the power to speak to so many people across this earth. It is a faith that is so desperately needed in these times of crisis. However, our faith is also immersed in a white progressive culture, which leads to particular ways of understanding beauty and love. And this has meant that not everyone feels comfortable in our faith. So we need to learn about the parts of our faith and the way we interact with one another that leads whole groups of people being oppressed and not themselves, not able to bloom and flourish in our faith. So consider this norm. This is prickly and hard. Consider our norm that all issues should be discussed reasonably, and if you had emotions about that, you probably should be done with those emotions or have very little of them to work through whatever the conflict and pain is. So what happens to people from cultures right within the United States and probably in families, even in this room, that expect more emotional expression during conflict or when they've been hurt or in pain? They expect to gasp out or have emotions. Well, what happens often in our congregations is people get ostracized and judged for that, because that's not really how we do things. And so it makes our faith not safe for them. They can't bloom here, and people often leave. So that's just one example of the way norms make it hard for different people to be different within our faith. So we have built a faith within our culture that has narrowed our understanding of what it means to live with love and kindness. And if our faith is going to serve the world, and we need a faith that believes in the interdependent web and the integrity and worth of every person so desperately at this moment, if we're going to grow in that way, we have to change. And we do that by creating a larger, more diverse bouquet of people who are drawn into our life-saving message that we can create bouquets with, that we can create love and understanding in much broader, bigger, more amazing ways than we've already done. We do this by building relationships with people who are different, and we let them change us through interaction, through getting through conflicts that we so desperately hate, all of those things. So approving the spirit of the eighth principle is our statement that we will embark upon this creative, challenging, growing journey. In beloved community, we will increase our love. We will create beautiful bouquets of people so that we can bless our broken world, which is what we are foundationally called to. We will now celebrate Flower Communion. Hannah and I will bless the flowers and then invite you up. Our liturgy for Flower Communion was written almost, but not entirely, by David Bombaugh, the Reverend David Bombaugh. We are moving slowly, very slowly, through the cold, wet spring towards summer. But everywhere still there are flowers, so undaunted by rain and dark that have sprung vibrant pink, purple, yellow on bushes and trees.
This morning, we celebrate the bounty of this life we each brought with us today to this place of community and love. All the flowers we could find, those growing in fields and forests, adorning our yards, or colorful from stores, shops, and the Hillsdale Farmers Market. We choose these flowers for their beauty, and we brought them here to this place to share their beauty with each other.
Each of these flowers alone is a special gift. No two of them are alike. We could spend all morning learning to know the special color, structure, and fragrance of each flower. Piled together as they are here, they take on a very different beauty. Together they remind us of the richness and bounty of the earth, of the many gifts which make both the universe and this congregation, places of beauty and wonder and grace, places where we may live and love and grow and become what we are meant to be.
We are like the flowers, each of us unique, different, It takes a whole lifetime to get to know anyone completely, to know their beauty and their gifts and their quirks. And when we come together, when we pile together, we join our voices and our hopes and our energy, something special happens. Our beauty is multiplied, our gifts increased, our quirks smoothed. We become a human community, a place where each is a gift and each is a receiver of gifts.
This we symbolize with flower communion. From many places, these flowers have come to brighten the world for a moment. From many places, we have come to brighten the world for a moment. Here, different gifts and shapes and colors combine to create a grace and beauty, which is more than the sum of its parts. Each of us receives gifts that we had not the wisdom to ask for, and each is here to offer gifts we did not know were ours to give. In this world, all things are connected and interconnected. These flowers are made of star stuff. We too are star stuff, carrying in ourselves the same life that struggled out of the sea and learned to love. The flowers and we are gifts from the stars, the fragile bridge across which life moves and into what the future will be. Rejoicing this morning in earth and sky, in flower and tree, in life and the living of life. Now let us sing. John will lead us. It's 368 in your hymnals, and if you're at home, it's really easy to learn.
And in the spirit of different parts coming together to make something very beautiful, let's learn the two different lines that make up this piece. And we're going to start by, let's all try to sing the top part, which is the melody. Again, if you're in your hymnals, it's 368. All right, Ben's going to lead us in here.
Sing to the power of the faith within. Sing to the power of the faith within. Lift up your voice, be not afraid. Sing to the power of the faith within.
All right, good. All right, yeah. Excellent. We know this one pretty well. Just want to make sure everyone gets an opportunity to try the different parts. So let's all now sing the bottom line, which is the kind of the bass part. All right? One and two. And here we go.
Now let us sing. Now let us sing. Lift up your voice, be not afraid. Now let us sing to the power of the faith within.
Yeah, all right, awesome. All right, so if you prefer the low part, you're going to sing what we just did. If you like the higher melody part, then do that. And our sopranos and tenors are going to be doing the top line, and our basses and altos will help you with the bottom line. All right, we'll do all four verses. We're going to sing to the power. We're going to sing to faith, sing to the power of hope, sing to the power of love, and sing to the power of joy. Here we go.
Now let us sing to the power of the faith within.
Now let us sing
to the power of the faith within. Lift up your voice, be not afraid. Sing to the power of the faith within.
Now let us
sing to the power of the hope within.
to you each morning. May their loveliness lure you each day, and their tenderness caress you each night. May their delicate petals make you gentle, and their eyes make you aware. May their stems make you sturdy, and their reaching make you care. I extinguish this flame, but not the vision and compassion of our faith. May they stay with you until we meet again.